Thanks for coming. So my name is Rick Orr. I'm the founder of a company called Tabbed Out. I'll explain a little bit about what we do here in a minute. For those on the podcast, our hashtag is MBLEMKTG, and my Twitter is at OrRick with three R's. Today's topic is mobile payments and its role in sort of this paradigm shift of consumer marketing, and perhaps even go a little deeper into some aspects of mobile payments. It's a very hot category. Very near and dear to my heart, and I'll explain why. A little more about me. So again, I founded Tabbed Out. We're an Austin-based company focused on mobile payment for bars and restaurants. We're integrated with the point-of-sale systems at about 70% of hospitality, which was a really key aspect of our model. We're available today in 34 states, a bunch of places here in Austin. Hopefully you've tried it out. My background personally is in security software and card payments prior to founding the company. And I've been based here for about 17 years for, you know, different startups, and including at one point an acquisition by Symantec in the security software days. And then to keep you all here, the last thing that you'll see is that I actually have video of a dog that climbs trees that I own. It's always got to have that hook. So payment continues to evolve. It's not a new concept. We sort of introduced this as kind of remedial mobile payment. So I think what I wanted to do was try to get 30 minutes or so through the slides and then leave it open for questions, because I think just looking around the room, I think we've got a pretty broad range. In fact, a lot of people probably know more than me about mobile payment. Since Cro-Magnon, man, we exchanged in all kinds of ways, all the way up to today's digital wallet that you hear so much about in different formats, and we'll dig into what that means, at least from my purview here in a moment. So let's just start with something you all know. I'm not going to educate you on anything about how payments have evolved, but it's important to kind of understand how payments and marketing capabilities are sort of tracking together through our history. So let's start with our grandparents. So they paid with these things. I thought these were actually wooden, but it's a buffalo nickel. I don't know if you know what it is, but I was re-educated on it. I don't think you can get them outside of coin collectors' basements right now. Our grandparents paid on these big, clunky, but quite elegant cash registers. You know, occasionally you'll find a sort of craft cocktail bar in Manhattan that'll still have them for show, but they're not terribly efficient. And the data, obviously there is no data, but they're, you know, very dumb when it comes to what they yield for marketing capabilities. And then, of course, cash. You know, the homage to our Austin murals here around town and the man in black. So they got marketed to by Sears and Roebuck magazine for summer underwear comfort that is obviously doesn't look terribly comfortable. To further the point, they were offered Heldenberg electric belts, which some I think suggested was an early form of Viagra. And for loyalty, it really wasn't about any kind of engagement. It was about you went to a place that you knew you were going to save money. So a five and dime store, today's Walmart, for instance. So that evolved into what our parents, and even some of us today, still the way that we pay. This thing's called a card imprinter. Some people sort of affectionately call it a ka-chunker, coming from the card payments industry. Those things are, of course, effective with antique version here of American Express card that introduced plastic and brought about the payment rails that sort of made ubiquity within payment. In the 80s, people started getting a lot of these, and it led to them being cut up, typically by a bank, for overspending. Some of our friends from Dallas can appreciate that. Something's clapping. It's weird. Okay, so, and then checks. So moving forward, you know, targeted marketing started to come about then. So we had, of course, the... All right. So targeted marketing started to look like this. Ronald Reagan was hawking Chesterfield cigarettes as Christmas presents to his friends via magazines. In addition to selling Jell-O, Bill Cosby was pushing these really ugly computers on TV commercials. And while it's humorous to think today... Hey, Rocky. Sorry, I think your head's written. It's all right. Coupons, right? So it's a little sad that we still have a show called, what is it called? Extreme Couponing, But, you know, this is not a very effective or efficient way to redeem value at merchants. But this is what they had. This is the way that sort of it's evolved as payment did. If you remember Kojak introduced loyalty through the Players Club.
You, my friend, can use some fun. Big fun. Las Vegas, Atlantic City, cruise ships. But you got to take this along. The Players Club card. It's going to save you a lot of money. 25 to 50% off fabulous resort hotels. 25% off meals and drinks. Up to 50% off shows and entertainment. Come on. Call Players Club for much more information free. You're too smart to pay.
Come on. So today we pay like this. All the things we see in merchants are sort of starting to evolve. So it's all electronified. It's bringing about a very rich data, very contextual data, and that's really the kind of theme that I'll present through the rest of the slides is context. PayPal announced that you can use your PayPal credentials at a Home Depot. You've got these that replace the clunky brass thing that was our grandparents used, you know, for cash registers. Google and ISIS and others are making it so that the things that have been chips in your cards can now be used at point of sale. Square is bringing about mobile POS, and companies like us are bringing about other aspects of mobile payment. Why is it so important? Obviously, it's more convenient. It's definitely more secure. I mean, 40% of today's fraud comes from handing your cards to strangers, and it's not lost that taking plastic out of the equation is a much more secure way to pay. And more context. And context is kind of the theme and where the marketing angle comes in. So let's go a little bit deeper because mobile payment is such a hot category. You hear about it in so many ways. It started as peer-to-peer and then a lot of sort of online sort of e-commerce. Sort of my background and what we do with Tabbed Out is more merchant-centric. So I'm going to focus on just mobile payment as it relates to the physical world. So furthering the Home Depot scenario, there are things that are near. There are things that you can be at a counter that are just maybe slightly more convenient than pulling out your wallet and swiping the card. But why it's important is that it brings about a capability to track you, the mobile consumer, or you, the you know the consumer that goes to different types of places. Google and ISIS are doing this, as you've probably seen at the conference, and we have, as a company, have benefited greatly from the amazing marketing engine that's sort of resulted from all the brands being involved. But these are situations where you have to be near. It's, again, replacing that actual card swipe at a merchant. And then Starbucks. Starbucks introduced the barcode at the scanner. It's getting a massive adoption and bringing about a loyalty integration, which is really important back to the concept of context. They know that, you know, how you spend and where to bring value to you, whether you're inside or outside of their location. So the use cases for these are vending machines, counter service, barbecue, coffee shops, etc. Then there's a category of a very disruptive category of mobile POS. And so the big players here are obviously Square, longtime player in the payment space Intuit, and Verifone, who's been there forever and a very trusted brand in all of merchant-based sort of processing, had those forever, and they too have evolved into a more mobile-type existence. But these are mobile POS. They're not actually mobile payment in the strictest sense. Mobile payment is a consumer activity that, like the following. There we go. Sorry, let me finish this. Sorry. So those applications, the best applications for those are merchants that didn't otherwise have the point-of-sale system, or didn't otherwise have a real easy way to accept payment offline. PayPal created the online, existence for paying peer-to-peer and accepting as a merchant, years ago. This is the evolution of offline acceptance. So the coffee cart place and the food truck, these are great applications for that. The final piece is what I sort of affectionately call far field, to differentiate that the technology of near field is different from some use cases that we come across. So, of course, gratuitous sort of Tabbed Out slide that there's a way that you can pay at bars and restaurants. Similarly, Square and their card case product allows you to pay from far away. You don't have to be at something you can tap. You can actually engage with the point of sale away from that line and away from, the register. And then finally, for retail, you have apps like iBuyer, which allows you in the middle of the aisle to scan a UPC and find great deals or even purchase in some cases within retail. So these are applicable for bars. This is applicable for a restaurant where you don't want a server to have to come over and tap something. And this is applicable, of course, in this sort of instance of retail. All right, so back to the marketing. So how are people reaching us these days? Today we get marketing from, say, a Facebook app that's marketing a Hello Kitty Visa. We get a Ruth's Chris ad that comes through an email blast. We get $30 off an hour of pole dancing from Brass Ovaries via Groupon. These are things that actually are coming through. And the real question is, are businesses targeting their, you know, are they reaching the target audience? And, you know, I think the point of today's discussion is that without context, it's difficult to say. In some cases, the spray and pray works. In some cases, not. So let's just pretend that these folks received each of the previous ads. Devin here got the Hello Kitty. Crowd favorite Natalie Portman, known vegetarian, gets a Ruth's Chris offer for a, you know, big juicy steak, probably not appropriate. And sadly, this is me dancing at my wedding, and although I need probably some help, I don't think pole dancing is where I'm going to go for help. So get to the point. All right, so it used to be that running a TV ad or putting something in the paper would immediately drive sales because it was sort of the conduit, the way that you got information as a consumer, and that day is long since passed with Twitter and, you know, all of the social activities that, that our connected consumers have access to. And their demands are increasing. They can be reached anywhere. And what's really critical, while there's a ton of influence offline, online, 90% of our spending in the U.S. is offline. So this is an incredibly important category for, you know, driving our economy. That 90% of spending offline is what really drives this behavioral context of who we are, what we want, when, and of course where. So I contend that mobile commerce is really the key to effective marketing and ultimate consumer delight. And so I'll go through a little scenario. So I keep saying context. What do you mean? So sometimes referred to, particularly in the restaurant and hospitality space, is KYC or know your customer. You know, this is Lindsay. Lindsay actually is employee at Tabbed Out. Some of these facts are true. Some of them are made up. But Lindsay's social. She's a vegan. She likes knives, at least if you look at the picture and decipher that. While not obvious, her favorite lunch spot is Al's Bistro, which specializes in specialty Italian ham. She picks up to-go from Al's Bistro, you know, twice a month. And she's active on Yelp, Facebook, Pinterest, and Knife Depot. So the issue is merchants are flying blind as far as who Lindsay is. They today don't know. When she's outside of their walls, they can't even make a judgment call of whether or not she would be a vegan or she would be a socially active, sort of social media active person. So as Lindsay's walking into Al's Bistro, she's thinking about grilled vegetables, but sort of recognizing what's probably about to happen to her, having been a loyal customer for a while, that tweets her friends, "Hey, I'm headed into Al's. What do you want to bet they offer me something with meat in it?" Right? Because they just don't know her. And so lo and behold, when they walk in, while she's, you know, sitting there, has been there twice this last month, the first thing he offers is what he's sort of coached to offer. Here's your prosciutto panini. And it's, you know, not really what she would want. She walks out and says, "You know, it happened again." And then this time he offered prosciutto. It's a one-star Yelp rating, although she loved the food. It's just it's not a complete consumer experience. And the issue, without mobile sort of payment in the middle, without the context of who she is as a patron, this is going to repeat. Like the cycle never completes, it never improves, it always sort of stops with almost the precise same experience. With mobile payment, you can add this context and targeting. So at the top right, you've got a receipt, an electronic receipt from her last visit. It's a vegan special, side salad, and a side hummus. You know, as she's walking by the place, she gets an instant deal for $10 for 20 off at Al's Bistro. You can also educate the merchant that her average check size is $16, that she's one of the top 10 customers, her average tip perhaps is 22%, and, you know, she comes four times a month, and she daily reviews and tweets on social media. This is the kind of things that merchants need to know, but without context, they really are flying blind. So the transformation of the consumer experience could be something like this. With that knowledge, with the merchant armed with that knowledge, they can say, "Welcome back, you know, Lindsay. Do you want the vegan special? Or do you want to check out our new vegetarian menu? Oh, by the way, it's your third visit this month. This is $10 off, so introduction of loyalty." Leads to happier customers, better reviews and referrals, which is what all merchants want, repeat business, and, of course, increased revenue. Not to mention that it brings about another avenue for marketing, those from the brand space, to be able to engage with Lindsay right at the time of purchase. And again, I'll talk a little bit about privacy and security at the end about where this sort of all fits together, but the point here is that mobile payment yields the context that she might have had a Tecate before or a Pepsi, and therefore these brands want to engage, you know, her and bring her value right then. And I explained the merchant side is, you know, an obvious one for driving loyalty. So again, this completes the cycle, yields the five-star review that the merchant, you know, was obviously hoping for. And not to belabor the point, but real quick, similar scenario for retail. So this is Devin again, you know, just so happens he does like Hello Kitty. He's not ashamed of it. So when he goes in, the merchant's completely befuddled. It's like, is this guy going to rob me? Like, this doesn't look really safe. I don't understand why he's at my, you know, store. But what she should know is that his average check was $26. He's had four visits. His last purchase was a Hello Kitty bumper sticker. There it is. So the same applies for retail and online alike. If they had used Islebuyer, for instance, in that case, to have purchased that Hello Kitty bumper sticker, and that merchant could know that when Devin came back in, it should be a, you know, hey, there's something for your being a loyal customer. You need a discount. You need, you know, I want to reward you for all the things that I know about you versus call the cops. Then maybe Devin has a better experience. And again, completes the cycle that the context is really what's key so that merchants and patrons alike can sort of have that connectivity that today is available that wasn't available for our grandparents and our parents. So what's the catch, right? So, and I'm talking a lot about context, talking a lot about data. There's a lot of responsibility that goes with that. So, you know, millennials, Gen Xers, however you want to term it, are sharing more and more. We all have things that we log into through Facebook that we would not have done 3 years ago. At least I do. Trust, you know, is of course essential for mobile payment to sort of subsume plastic or replace plastic. And that puts the onus on payment and, you know, mobile payment and mobile marketing companies like ourselves and the ones mentioned previously to be incredibly mindful, in fact, strictly mindful of, you know, privacy and security and compliance, something that we personally take very seriously having come from that background. Because at the end of the day, like the 2000s with e-commerce, while we're having this great buzz of mobile payment, NFC is going to take 2 or 3 years. And the other players like us, we're growing, right? So it's that transformation, the consumer mindshare that it's okay to pay now offline with your phone is coming, but trust is the key sort of factor there for that to come to full fruition. So let's look back kind of as we close out and open for questions. Back to that scenario of marketing, of whether or not we have the right sort of level of engagement with our consumers. So the Hello Kitty Visa ad, the Ruth's Chris ad, and the pole dancing one. So Devin, we learned, he has a tattoo on his arm. They did a good job. So the spray and pray approach, it worked. But what would be better for Ruth's Chris is probably to market to Ted Nugent because he tends to like meat more. On the dancing side, you know, I fully admit I'm a white guy. I need extreme help with that. So maybe I'd be open to, I don't know, learning the duck. You get the point. So so in closing, and you know, I've kind of burned through this much quicker than it seemed 27 slides would go. As promised, here is Casey, my dog that can climb a tree. And there she goes. So, you know, I know we've got a lot of time left. I'd love to take any questions. That was kind of, like I said, intended to be a bit of a remedial sort of background of payment and sort of mobile marketing. I'm happy to answer any more specific questions. I think they wanted to go to the mic so the podcast folks could hear.
How arduous of a process was it to integrate into the point-of-sale systems, and about how long did it take for each one? Because I know there's four major players with Aloha and Squirrel and all of those things. So
yeah.
We're in the process of doing that, so it's kind of...
Yep, so point-of-sale is the electronified cash register, right? It's for our model, very important because it allows you to extend to the consumer this capability to open and view your check and walk down the street or get in the cab and pay in this far-field fashion. There are 100 or so hospitality point of sales, of which we've, you know, focused a lot of our efforts to get the key ones, and they're hard. They're very challenging. It's old software. You know, it's very commendable what they've done in the space to bring about an electronified version of what was just a cash, you know, based system before. But yeah, it can be, it's a long process. It's really the core kind of IP and value that we focused on as a company. Go ahead. We have some announcements coming out. We've got a pilot site, I'll say, with Aloha, but we've not yet announced officially with them. Mainly just, coming from software space, we take care to make sure that we've got all of our integrations in a stable state. It's brand new for us. So, you know, as it becomes commercially available, then we'll be more public about it. I guess I'm kind of being public right now. Shoot. We'll provide that. Part of the evolution of our company, we wanted to solve mobile payment first from the consumer perspective, and then we'll evolve into more rich experience for the merchant over time. But I think people like iBuyer and others are, you know, I know it's a big initiatives within ISIS and Google Wallet to make that like connection to the with data to the merchant. So I think most of us in the industry see that as a requirement to provide more context to the merchants so that they can better serve their consumer. For us today, that's a bit down the road. Yep.
Do you use like a larger merchant systems to do the payment processing transactions, or do you create your own?
We don't process transactions with Tabbed Out. Actually, we use the point of sales capabilities for that, so that we can provide the payment information securely up front, and then allow the philosophy was we don't want them to change their accounting. We don't want them to have to add new equipment. We don't want them to have to reconfigure a firewall or change ports. With what we've done with Tabbed Out through the integrated point of sale is they process exactly as they do today. They settle at the end of the night exactly as they do today, but they give their consumers a capability to leave when they want. They give their bartenders and staff a capability to turn more tables and serve more profitable drinks. Maybe it takes a really skilled bartender. Maybe they can do 8 drinks in a minute and maybe 5 minutes to close out a check, right? So it's an obvious efficiency issue that mobile payment helps greatly. Yes?
Do you provide merchants aggregated consumer behavior, or are they very strict about, I only want my consumer's data to be accessible?
Yeah, that's a bit coming down the line for us. So, the purpose of this was to sort of explain what mobile payments will provide from the purview of sort of marketers to merchants. We specifically provide just basic roll-up data today to merchants of here's how many tabs you had, here's the value that you sort of achieved by serving more people more quickly, you know, looking at baseline reports of their, revenue for a particular week versus, you know, a busy week with our products. So. We do have access to that type of information. What we do share with them, you know, what's sensitive in the hospitality space, particularly our space, is, you know, you've got owners that you sell to, and then you've got 13 million staff members that can be fantastic, at evangelizing your product. But the key thing they worry about, particularly in a state like Texas, where, you know, minimum wage for a bartender is $2, is tips. So the types of things we focus on communicating back to them is that we made you more money because it was more efficient, you know, far exceeded what your investment was into our service, which the merchants pay a monthly fee for, and your average tip for the staff was X, and your average check amount on Tabbed Out was this, which is higher than your other, you know, type of consumer. We sort of serve a higher demographic typically. So those are the types of things we share today. Yes? We're an opt-in only. So you have to opt in. It's not even a proactive opt-out. So we're very sensitive to this. I mean, I think as we started, you know, as a mobile payment provider coming from security software background, we didn't want to be cavalier with people's personal information. In fact, in our system, we don't know any names of anyone behind it. It's devices that want to receive an offer because they are really loyal to a merchant or perhaps even loyal to a brand, Coke or Red Bull, then we allow them to opt in to receive that value. So if you've ever used the app, you know, as I loaded one, we did a promotion based on our announcement with PayPal this week, a partnership with PayPal, actually last week. And it was $24 off of my tab, which was, I had only run up to $19. So that's the kind of thing that we focus on, is bringing value to the consumer through that platform, but are very sensitive to people's interest in receiving that type of marketing information. I think that's critical for all of us in the space. While we're sharing more and more, you know, our generations, it's payment stuff. So if everyone really believes, like I do, that the trust factor is going to be the key for it to shift into the norm, then you know, to be very mindful.
Sure.
What do you see as the continued acceptance of mobile payments and the information that you're going to be able to gather? What do you think that does for the daily deal industry? Because you're essentially going to be able to give information that is exactly tied to that individual and allowing the retailer control of the revenue stream. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think mobile payment's the key for really effective yield management and, of course, targeting. And with the integration with the point of sale, the way we've approached it, you can actually redeem in a very seamless way. Think of using, not to throw anybody under the bus, but think of using a Groupon on a first date. You're going to probably not do that. I would recommend you don't. You could do that with something like Tabbed Out, or you could perhaps do that even, you know, at Christmas with something like Owlbuyer, if the implementation is done correctly, where you know who you're talking to, they deliver value right at the point of purchase or upstream, that, you know, you're comfortable walking down the aisle and actually getting that value right at that instant, seamlessly, without pulling out one of those stacks of coupons or paying really close attention to the extreme couponing show of how you can pay nothing for a big bucket of groceries. So, yep.
Are you going to allow them to repurchase stuff?
I think there's different models that'll come about. Right now, it's more of a behavioral-based redemption. So what we've been beta'd in Austin is when you say your check gets to a certain size, we do an offer a lot that's $7 off of an $8 tab. So all you have to do is get an $8 tab, and then you hit redeem, and it's now a dollar tab for you, the patron. So it's a little bit inverted in that case. But there's different funding models, and you know, we personally look at different avenues that could go. But I've really been focused more on the consumer sort of acceptance. You know, people tend to like to get free things, particularly with us focused a lot in the bar and restaurant space. So that's how we've approached it. You know, I think it's just like the evolution of the payment sort of concept I was working off of there. You know, Visa became an acceptance mark. And like what you see with Yelp and Foursquare, the static cling sticker on the door is kind of the first step. But we work really hard to get point of sale in the marketing sense onto the cash registers or the point of sale systems, onto the coasters and koozies and things of that nature. So a lot of on-premise type of brand recognition. And we work personally very heavily on the staff because, again, there's 13 million of them. If we can engage them properly, then mobile payment, at least in our model, has a great opportunity. When they see higher tips and when they see, you know, that they can serve more people and make more money at the end of the night, then it's sort of sells itself in that case. Yes. It's not. We currently have a monthly fee for the merchant. And it's based on the merchant size that we work in conjunction with our point-of-sale partners. We have a pretty broad reseller network through our point-of-sale partners, and they would typically sell it sort of for us in a monthly SaaS model. Yes? Not us currently. So what we do is we do help the merchant. I mean, one thing we learned that was not so obvious to me coming into this space from security and payments was that the small business owner, I mean, they're busy running their business. Obviously, they bought like a load of scallops and they need to move them by Thursday before they spoil or whatever. They're not thinking as much as they should be, obviously, about the way they engage people, their customers, and their sort of concentric circles of friends and contacts on social media. So what we did was integrate so that you can share with Facebook, Twitter, or Foursquare from within the app. Very simple. Lots of apps approach it this way, so it's nothing necessarily novel, but you know, it attaches to their Facebook page, and it, you know what it does? It gets them mostly aware that it can work, and then there's lots of people in the space that are doing great aggregation for merchants to be able to sort of help them on the marketing side, especially with regards to social media. But we've been very pleasantly surprised with how well that feature has worked, where consumers will just check in real quickly with Tabbed Out. And we have some merchants that are starting to focus on very specific deals for people that check in that particular way as a subsidy for their own efforts in social media, I guess. Yep. So, yeah, honestly, with the card case, it's probably the closest thing to our model, where there's a register and a mobile consumer that, with different devices, are connecting and seeing the check and paying. Biggest difference is the market we serve. So, we integrate with Micros and the big point of sale players, so that you know those incumbents, which are you know material investments for merchants, it's a very, very long time before those are fully disrupted and replaced. Although it's possible. You know, they need a point of sale existence. That's how they help manage their business. It's got accounting and scheduling and table management, and it's sort of a Swiss Army knife for their hospitality business. Square, while it'll evolve, is currently more of a payment acceptance sort of terminal. It's like it's almost like a very pretty and sexy brass, you know, register that we showed earlier. And so that's the food truck provider versus the bar down the street. And we're focused on the bar down the street, where they're mostly focused on the food truck provider. But, you know, in Austin, we see them in occasional small bars that you don't need multiple terminals that are linked and networked, and you don't need a really big point of sale sort of presence. So, you know, it's a little bit of overlap. I think it's really exciting to see, you know, learn from one another on what's the way that we together can drive consumers, because at the end of the day, it's a massive market. I mean, our market's maybe 500,000 full-service restaurants and bars, and I don't know the numbers, but Square's is a multiple of that, because any of us could be a Square merchant. And, you know, at the end of the day, we all root for Google and ISIS and partner with PayPal and root for Square, because like the e-commerce of the 2000s, we have, you know, we have to make that paradigm shift with the consumer, and you know, to move to a new way to pay. We don't currently. Ordering's an interesting thing. We serve full-service restaurants and bars. It's been one of the longest debates within our walls, you know, of it sounds awesome that a drink would just materialize in your hand on a busy South by night, but in process, it's not really tenable. You know, that you move around too much in a bar, and in a restaurant, your staff could sort of be sitting over you as you're going through multiple layers of modifiers and about to hit the surf and turf, and then she's like, look, if you just talk to me, I'd tell you that we're out of lobster. So, you know, what we think is more important for those models is the closeout. The closeout frees the table. The closeout frees the bartender. The closeout brings the data and the value into the model so that you can then focus on great offers and deals and loyalty. And we see that that's higher value to the merchant and a better consumer experience. So that's been our focus. But you'll see us do some aspects of not so much full service, but different types of ordering in the not too distant future. Yes. Perhaps to the vertical in the case of your example, right? So I think that's true. I think what will happen, what I would hope would happen, is that, you know, because you are you throughout the day doing different things. You're at retail, you're at coffee, you're at, you know, lunch, you're at a bar, you're on transit. At some point, there's an aggregation component to yield the most value for you if you're willing to share that sort of daily existence. And I think it's going to take partnerships to really sort of congeal. What I can say from Tabbed Out's perspective is, you know, if you are a strict vegan and, you know, you're interested in receiving value from a new place that's opening in, say, Austin, we can help that person not send you a meat lover's pizza. And that's sort of the beginning. And hopefully that makes you happier for using both services, and hopefully you saved a lot of money, which is, you know, good for all. But that's sort of the way we look at it. It's, your point's valid. You know, I don't know what's going on at Transit. Yes?
Do you allow push notifications? And if so, how do you control the quantity that go out?
That's great question. Another inside our walls, you know, common discussion of the consumer experience and just being inundated with offer. It's, you know, like anything, you just turn it off, too much noise. So we have different things. There's ways that you can opt in to those types of things. It's typically an opt-in only. And we focus more to bring people into the app, and we have an inbox feature that'll, it's a more like an email client where people are used to seeing multiple messages. It's not so front of phone. But we balance it a bit. It depends on kind of what the consumer wants, and a lot of the things we're testing now is to see sort of what's the right sort of consumer experience long term on things like that. It's a great question. Yes. So I think a lot of folks that have exposed sort of portals for a merchant to self-serve, there's been mixed sort of results. So yeah, I think the key there for us and anybody is to just continue to sort of A-B test a do-it-for-you versus a do-it-yourself and find the economics that work to serve the customer. I'm sorry, to serve the merchant the best. At the end of the day, you know, there's this theory that we were taught by some of our point-of-sale partners in the earliest days is, you know, merchants will pay hundreds for technology and thousands for marketing. And from a business sort of perspective, that's sort of where I think all of us in mobile payment center is. We have to find a compelling reason for consumers to use it in mass, and then a very compelling story of ROI for the merchants. And in some cases, you have kind of a Luddite that won't want to go and log into anything, and in other cases, perhaps they will. So don't have a clear answer, but I think it's a good question, and one that, you know, others have tested in the deal space, that providing a lot of context there. Any other questions? Sure.
So in your opinion then, in terms of mobile payments, where is this innovation going to be coming from? Is ISIS or Google all going to be driving the next phase of mobile payments?
What I was trying to describe in the middle section there of the different types of conversations within this big sector of mobile payment is that they're each separate technology discussions. So where near doesn't apply to our model of sort of full service, you know, table service and bar service type places, I don't see that sort of directly impacting. I think it would intrinsically impact it as you have these big players doing heavy marketing, so that, you know, the same way that e-commerce evolved, people get a trust that, all right, I'm using my phone more and more to do this thing. Why can't I do it at the restaurant? And why can't I do it at the coffee line outside of Starbucks, everywhere else? So my hunch is that different technologies will coexist, perhaps in a way that's very nice and uniform for a consumer, or perhaps not. It depends on sort of what the partnership landscape evolves into on that front.
Mm-hmm. You know, if going to one place, using Tabbed Out at one bar, and then I go to another place, and ISIS integrated a bunch of my credit cards, and Google All is integrated another bunch of my credit cards, and I'm going app,
yep,
merchant to merchant. You know, where is this integration going to be happening? Because we're saying, you know, fine, fair enough, we might get a card from our physical wallet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're sort of describing if there was this propagation of digital wallets or digital sort of mobile payment services, then you're constantly sort of looking through a Rolodex of what do I use here, you know, and it's not convenient. So I think that's sort of what I was describing. I think, you know, as vendors of mobile payment solutions, we need platforms that are open to evolve as sort of this Cro-Magnon man to the digital wallet sort of example as these are evolving today, and it's fast, and, you know, there's great things to benefit from NFC, but NFC is not new. It's been around for 10 years. I saw someone once describe mobile payment by taking an Amex card with an NFC chip in it and taping it on a football and throwing it. They're like, that was mobile. It's like, that's about what that is, right? Because, I mean, it's just a chip. What's interesting and why it's becoming really mobile payment is that integrated with software, you know, up the stack all the way to where hopefully third parties eventually can sort of engage in that secure way to store a single wallet, then you start to get into an opportunity for ubiquity. Maybe something like Tabbed Out could use those wallet services so that you store it one place only. And then the different applications for mobile payment sort of are made available to consumers by whomever becomes best of breed in each sort of category. But like with anything, I mean, you know, there's a big kind of push early with the app development that, you know, everybody wanted to get an app. Every restaurant wanted to get an app. And the problem is, if you eat 10 places in a week, do you really want to use 10 apps to go and, you know, pay for sure or redeem loyalty? So like Kojak, you know, it's Reno, Nevada, all of them. We got, you know, it's got to all come together with a single kind of loyalty and payments platform. And I think your point's not lost that there's some digital wallet winners that need to happen, so, and others need to integrate with them. Yes.
Do you see any use cases for NFC in entry kind of scenarios?
Absolutely. Not indifferent from the QR codes, or really in some ways check-in, although it's much more location relevant. NFC can be applied as just a check-in service. When you walk in the door and you tap a door frame, it has, you know, some say, little wave-looking thing on it. So, yes, I think it'll be, you know, and it's really important. I mean, there's different levels of what your engagement is with the merchant. There's, I'm going to review it, but do you really know if you actually came and ate? That person actually came and ate. Is it a competitor just bashing, or did they actually go in and have a bad experience? Then there's a check-in. Well, they're getting better and better with better location services, but you know, by and large, you can't really ensure that that mayor truly hangs out there and spends money. They just know that they checked in a lot. Then there's, you know, something like what you're describing. You're in the place. You touch it. Maybe you have to be so far in to hit something with NFC or a QR code or even open a check in our model to where then you're starting to tell the merchant a lot more about who you are as a customer. So while you may not be mayor, you might spend $25 more per check than the mayor does. So you should be taken much better care of than the guy with the crown. Similarly, if you're coming in from out of town and you go to any place in Austin during South By, they should want to engage with people that are, you know, the strong spenders and the people that are going to help their business, whether they're local or loyal or not. It doesn't matter. You have a profile that people want, or perhaps in some cases don't. And then, you know, that's how the merchant needs to make a decision of, you know, what they do. But it's a good, it's a great question. And it's not only payment. So one more hand there. Yes.
So
not as Tabbed Out. I mean, we believe long-term near plus far is the right consumer experience that, you know, throughout the day you're going to be at the counter at some point, you're going to be at transit, you're going to be at the vending machine, you're going to be at the bar. And we have a component of that. But as far as other NFC players, with not a great deal of exposure. I mean, I've tried sort of Google Wallet at the CVS and, you know, I understand it from what it means from a payment perspective, but not a, unfortunately, a lot of context on the sort of middle of the aisle sort of equivalents. Any other questions? Cool. Well, thank you guys for coming. Hopefully it was helpful, and thank you.